Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Today, we have a special broadcast for our listeners on a subject having global consequences for all followers of Christ, the religion of Islam, the largest non-Christian belief system in the world. On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith, on the other as peace-loving pacifists. During the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than by reason. Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, is an exclusive CRI hardcover book with contributions from and editing by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is joined by Christian Research Journal contributing writer Wayne Mayhall, who wrote two significant articles for this brand new equipping resource. To ask Hank or Wayne a question about Islam, the Quran, what Muslims believe, or how to reach Muslims with the gospel, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the resource, Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, through the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And right now you can order by simply going to the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order online on the World Wide Web. As well, you can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We're devoting the next couple of days to Islam, to your calls on Islam, to social media questions on Islam, to my interview with Wayne Mayhall on Islam, because a recent survey of world religions states that Islam is the world's fastest growing religion, with over 1 billion followers. In other words, Islam is the faith of 1/5 of the world's population. The resource I hold in my hand answers all kinds of questions. Questions like, is the Islam that we hear about and their God Allah the same God as the God you find in the Bible? Is the Quran credible? Who are the Shia? What about the Sufis? You've probably heard about Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, Sikhism. And then, I think most importantly, how do you witness to Muslims? There is no deity except God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. Ever hear those words? They're the first words that every Muslim baby hears, and they're often the last words that a Muslim utters upon his deathbed. And for nearly 1.6 billion people, this is not just a doctrinal creed. It is foundational for every facet of life. Look, the Islamic faith, as Joseph Goodell has well put it, is not simply an exotic Arabic religion. Over the last 100 years, it has awakened and it's spreading worldwide at an almost unprecedented rate. And if the Lord's Great Commission is to be fulfilled, it's essential that we understand exactly what it is. We must know how to relate to Islam, how to contend for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. And we have to do it with gentleness and with respect. Wayne Mayhall is going to underscore that throughout the broadcast today. A couple of fast facts. Muhammad was born in Mecca, AD 570. When he was 25, he married a rich 40-year-old widow. His marriage gave him rank in Mecca, but perhaps most importantly, gave him the time he needed to devote to spiritual matters. And allegedly one night during the month of Ramadan, and incidentally, that begins this Saturday at sunset, Muhammad heard a voice, and that voice spoke saying, "Thou art the messenger of God, and I am Gabriel." And at that point, Muhammad says he realized his calling and his prophetic mission. In AD 630, he marched on Mecca with a force of 10,000 men. The inhabitants of Mecca swore allegiance to the prophet. For the first time, the Muslim call to prayer was heard. 2 years later, Muhammad died. Some Islamic beliefs. The Quran is believed to be God's final and God's complete revelation to man. The Quran, of course, has much to say about Jesus Christ, but the one thing it emphasizes more than anything else is that Jesus was only a man. He was a messenger of God, but not the Son of God, and certainly not God in human flesh. Orthodox Muslims maintain that Jesus did not die on a cross. They believe that God made someone look like Jesus, and the look-alike was crucified in place of Jesus. They believe that Jesus was taken up bodily into heaven by God. And most Muslims today believe that he will come again on the last day, slay the Antichrist, kill all the swine, and then break the cross. They believe that Jesus will reign as a just king for 45 years, that he'll marry, he'll leave children, and then die and be buried near Muhammad at Medina. And of course, all Muslims believe that Muhammad was the greatest apostle and the greatest prophet of all. With respect to the hereafter, all Orthodox Muslims believe in heaven, where true believers will exist forever in a garden of beauty and joy. And the Quran says, in them, in those gardens, will be maidens, chaste, restraining their glances, whom no man or jinn before them has touched, goes on to say, with beautiful, big, and lustrous eyes. That, by the way, is in the Quran 52:20. Salvation in Islam is based on good works. There's no need for a savior. In any case, God Most High alone can save us. And then they have five pillars, and this is one of the charms, I think, and one of the things that attracts people to Islam is the five pillars. They're easy to remember and fairly easily implemented. Starts out, the first is there's no deity except God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. The second, pray five times a day facing Mecca. The third, fast. The fourth, give alms. And then the final pillar is the pilgrimage to Mecca. Islam has two large groups, the Sunnis and the Shiites. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, a recent survey of world religions states that Islam is the world's fastest growing religion. The first mosque in the country was built in 1934 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But today there are 1,209 mosques in America. Which leads me to a very important question. The Christian church has never seriously attempted to reach the hundreds of millions who are Muslims today, and we have to inevitably ask this question, Why? If this is one-fifth of the world's population, why in the world would we not want to reach them? Why would we not want to equip ourselves to always be ready to give an answer, to take the deviations of Islam and to use them as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, not the Jesus Christ of the Quran, the real Jesus Christ, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the one who condescended to cloak himself in human flesh, who lived the perfect life that we could never live, that Jesus Christ. If we love him, why would we not want to share the real Jesus Christ with Muslims? When I asked Wayne Mayhall that question in just a moment, again, I want to remind you, Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also want to remind you that for the next couple of hours, you can call me at 888-ASK-HANK and ask your questions about Islam. And with that, I want to introduce Wayne Mayhall to the broadcast again. And Wayne, I want to ask you that question. Why in the world would we not want to reach out to Islam? Which is to say, why would we not equip ourselves for evangelism so that we can today reach a mission field, a growing mission field, on our own doorsteps?
Thanks for having me, Hank. First of all, it's great to be here, especially with a show as important as this one, dealing with Islam. And that is the quintessential question that you're asking. And there are a lot of answers to that. And sometimes those answers lead us into obscurity. We want to avoid that. We want to avoid complexity. We want to give the simple answer that brings us to the gospel of Christ and equips us, as we want to do at CRI, to go to our Muslim neighbors and co-workers and friends and share with them this gospel in a way that does not offend them so much so that they're turned off before we get to the heart of the message. And that's part of the answer. The heart of the answer is lifestyle evangelism. We have to be willing to be patient. We have to be willing to put aside our own ego in order to listen to the Muslim believer, to find out where they're coming from, where they're at on the continuum of belief. For an Islamic believer in America, first of all, there's about roughly between 6.5 and 8.5 million Muslims in America.
And they're growing.
And they're growing. Supposedly that number will triple by the year 2015. So if that's the case, then lifestyle evangelism being all important, we have to be able to, as I said, be patient, but we also have to be able to meet that believer where they're at on the continuum. They could be more of an Orthodox Muslim believer, and they may know their Quran, but for the most part, the average, and I use that word average loosely here, but the average American Muslim doesn't read the Quran, doesn't even know the Quran. So if you approach them trying to compare the God of the Bible with the God of the Quran, the Allah of the Quran, they may not buy into that comparison of scriptures. You have to know where they're at on that continuum and meet them there, and you may have to lead them to a place where you could use that sort of apologetic. It starts with an understanding of, on a case-by-case basis of the believer, where they're at.
And there's no question whatsoever that it's important to be accurate when you're talking about Islam. If you want to repel Muslims as opposed to reach them, just be stereotypical in the way you treat them and the way you communicate what they believe. Communicate a stereotype as opposed to communicating reality. I can tell you from personal experience, when you communicate the truth, Muslims will listen. We've heard that over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I still remember a man named Muhammad who called on this broadcast, who deeply disagreed with Christianity and yet listened to the broadcast because he said, "The one thing I respect about what you're doing is you accurately communicate and codify what Islam teaches. You're not stereotyping us. You're telling us the truth. And that's what the resource, Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, is all about. It's about communicating Islam directly and correctly. It's a great read. It's a must read. And it's available for your gift to keep this ministry circling the globe. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you call me at 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with more of Wayne Mayhall and Islam, What You Must Know.
To order CRI's exclusive brand new hardcover book on Islam, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank Hanegraaff or Wayne Mayhall a question about Islam, the Quran, what Muslims believe, or how to reach Muslims with the gospel, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today, about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple. Can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Hanegraaff answers two monumental questions in the Christian Research Institute's exclusive new resource, Islam, What You Must Know. Is the Allah of Islam the God of the Bible? And is the Quran credible? Become equipped to know the essential differences and how you can use these answers as a springboard to reach rather than repel your Muslim friends, neighbors, and co-workers with the good news of Jesus Christ. Order Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal from CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The question you just asked is a question that we answer in the resource. We're talking about Islam, What You Must Know. And Wayne, I suppose that's a question that everyone probably has on the tip of their tongue. Is the Allah of Islam the God of the Bible? And the reason that question comes up so often is that people oftentimes say, if you say Allah, you've got to be talking about the Muslim God. You can't be talking about the Christian God. True or false?
True. And you've said this in several articles. Actually, one of them appears in this book, and right up front, you know, comparing the God of the Bible with Allah, the God of the Quran. It's quite simple, is when we look at the Bible and the Quran and compare the chapters in the Quran to the chapters in the Bible, and word for word, try to understand the nature and character of God of the Christian Bible and the nature and character of Allah of the Quran, we see that they're quite different. And in one way, mainly, is that there's a Trinitarian God that we see pronounced and described in the Christian Bible. But the idea of Trinity in the Islamic faith, a Trinitarian God in the form of Allah, is considered shirk or blasphemy, creating an idol outside of Allah. So there's one of the big differences right there. But there's many, many more when we compare the two.
So making it plain for everybody to understand, we're saying that using the word Allah, that's just an Arabic word for God.
Right.
So it's not the word you use, but the meaning that's poured into the word. And the meaning poured into the word is different if you're a Palestinian Christian, for example, than if you're someone of the Muslim faith.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And when the God of the Old Testament announces that I am who I say I am to Moses and makes that statement, that's a much different statement than the statement when Allah announces through the angel Gabriel to Muhammad the prophet who he is as God. He's announcing that I am different than this Yahweh, although the Muslim attributes Abrahamic descent to Allah. It's a different ideology altogether.
One of the issues that I want to tackle for just a moment is, for most people, when you say Islam, Islam is Islam is Islam. In other words, it's a monolith. But as we point out in the resource that we're offering to people, Islam is not a monolith. It's multifaceted.
Yes, indeed. And when it comes to that idea of being multifaceted, we have to explore not just the Quranic writings, but the Hadith, which is the writings in addition to the Quran that have been put together over the centuries, and the Sunnah, which is the writings that have been put together over the centuries about the Prophet himself. When we look at the collection of all these writings together, that expression of Allah is brought to us in a way that's much different, and on a different pole than the God of the Old Testament, New Testament, and of the monotheistic Judeo-Christian faith.
So the difference then between Sunnis and Shiites. If you go to Iraq today, you'll find that the majority in Iraq are Shiites.
About
Saddam
90%,
Hussein
right.
was a Sunni. He was in the minority, but because he was a dictator, he was able to control the country, bringing democracy to Iraq. Now you have the Shiites, because they're the majority in Iraq, even though they're a minority worldwide. They're the majority there, and therefore, they now are in control of the country and oftentimes exacting vengeance on the Sunnis.
That's correct. That's correct. And when you look at, as I said with the writings, when you look at the Shiite system of belief and the Sunni system of belief, first of all, let's say for the listeners, the Sunni Muslims represent about 80% of the Muslim population, 1.3 billion or so, and the Shiite represent about 20% of that. Then the third sect is a mystical sect of Islam called the Sufis, and which they could be either Sunni or Shiite, but their whole goal in life is to, sort of like the Christian mystical tradition, to see Allah in his perfect state and to have a relationship with Allah here on earth before their ascension to be in paradise with Allah. But back to that question, yes, the Shiites have a different succession. They see a different succession coming from Muhammad than do the Sunnis. The Shiites believe that the family of Muhammad himself is who should be followed as the right successors of Muhammad, whereas the Sunnis believe that the Sunnah, or the writings of Muhammad, is where we should go to find the true faith. So when you put the different scriptures side by side, you see that they seem to be talking about a different Allah all in all.
Due to a power outage in our area, last night's broadcast was interrupted and our program cut short. So that you don't miss part two of Islam, What You Must Know, we've rescheduled the remainder of last night's program for this coming Monday night. So be sure to catch this broadcast. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.